Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And before we do anything else, I wanted to review these phrases that we can not thank Queen Victoria directly, but the Victorian era. And I thought it was interesting that each one had an origin. Yeah, we've all heard about painting the town red, and usually that involves drinking, right? Well, apparently the phrase did too. It's connected to Henry Beresford, the third Marquis of Waterford. In 1837, he and his merry band became inebriated over the course of a day. They stole a tin of red paint from a night watchman, ran through the entire town of Melton Mowbray, destroying property and literally painting it red. Yeah, then we have the penny dropped. Yeah, well, we use that all the time without stopping, usually when that moment of clarity occurs, when we understand something for the first time. Oh, I've had that a lot lately. Windows 11, anyone? You might well be learning for the first time that the phrase, again, right out of the Victorian era, comes from slot machines, not the ones we're thinking of, penny machines, where dropping a penny into the slot served as a catalyst for the action to begin, hence the penny dropped. Likewise, at the drop of a hat, that actually had an original hat in Victorian days. Horse races and boxing matches were often started not by a pistol shot or a bell, but by literally dropping a hat. When the headwear hit the ground, it was time to go. Yeah, and breaking the ice, yeah, we've all broken the ice. Well, this, that good old continued discovery of the Victorian era, the race to the North Pole and the Arctic. Yeah, that's what they were exploring at that time. Ships tough enough to break through the polar ice were essential, to say the least. So Victorians all knew the term referred to a ship pushing things forward by smashing through ice. And, of course, you know the metaphor today. Stealing one's thunder? Oh, that was interesting. Has an odd history. And it dates back, actually, to possibly right before the Victorian era, when a playwright invented a new way of adding storm sound effects to one of his productions. He came up with the idea of using oscillating metal sheets to reproduce the sound of thunder. Well, it turned out that the play, which was created for a particular venue, was canceled before it even began. Subsequently, he used his idea on another production for another venue, literally stole his own thunder. Then mad as a hatter, well, we all know that, yeah, from Alice in Wonderland, Neil Sedaka, or Lewis Carroll, but it actually predates that as well and goes right back to the hat-making industry, major during the Victorian era. And, of course, hat-making involved the use of mercury, do I need to say more, over which resulted in some nasty side effects, including confusion and disorientation, hence you're mad as a hatter. In the limelight, well, that one you probably know. It actually came from stage-era lighting, Victorian-era stage lighting, I should say. The Victorians loved to go see a play, and the theaters obviously used non-electric illumination. So, first used in 1836, a flame would be applied to a cylinder of quicklime, calcium oxide, to produce light. So hence you're in the limelight. All right. I thought that was interesting anyway. I hope you did. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Oh, we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk to Johnny in Austin and Ken in Chicago and Marty in Whiting. But Nick in Baltimore. Yeah, I've been very upset since Saturday night. You know, I'll tell you, I do not have many close friends left. Johnny, you'd better stay alive. All right. Unfortunately, Barry Richards didn't. The last time I saw him was, it's going on a year ago now, late last October. We had dinner in Los Angeles. And, he wasn't looking that great. And he'd been fighting a lot of things for the last, probably 30 years, but more recently in the last 20. And finally, as his wife, Deborah, said, Saturday night, he got his wings. Nick in Baltimore, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hello, Raleigh. I'm sorry to be the bearer of sad news. I found out yesterday myself. So.
Yeah, no, Saturday night, Dee sent me an email saying that because he'd been in the hospital. He had a series of strokes that actually could have been worse, but there were other complications that actually prevented it from being much worse. But he was going to have to be in rehab and do some other things. He did not want to go. And so it was touch and go for the last 2.5 weeks. And I hadn't heard from her for a few days, so I kind of had my fingers crossed. And then I got the email that he passed. And he was an original, that's for sure, and he will be missed.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him from years. In fact, he friended me on Facebook, and we messaged here and there.
Uh-huh.
But I'm so sorry I hadn't done it. I'm so sorry I hadn't done it recently.
Yeah.
He was on WUST in Washington. He was, sure. was all over.
Starting at WDON. And yes, he absolutely was at ITH the same time that Bill Taylor was there and that George Wilson was the PD. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And of course, those television shows, the one that I think aged Milt Grant by a decade, I think that was Turn On. And of course, Whale in New Orleans, which is a phenomenal success, and on and on. I spent a lot of time with his two sons from his first marriage when they were in junior high and high school, and I remember so well saying to them, "Now come on, you've got to be able to conjugate a verb, learn an English language sentence. You're not going to be successful if you can't even write a business letter," and they couldn't. Well, the joke was on me. Gary's a multimillionaire today. Unfortunately, Stevie passed away, but he did very well before he did. But I often thought about that. Here I'm trying to, get basic arithmetic and a little bit of English into their minds. They didn't need it. Not at all.
That's something. Again, quite a legend. And I don't know. We keep losing people, and I'm very... I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say.
It's absolutely. It's age. It's the time. Time passes. And Barry was born in November 42, so he would have, been approaching his mid-80s now. So, life happens. And as I say, he'd been sick quite a while. Then on top of it, he had a couple different bouts of cancer. So it was in some ways just, keeping death away from the doorstep. But I just hated the news because he was such an original. And the other thing is a lot of people who remember him as the Rhea Czar, who remember some of his on-air antics, didn't know the fact that Barry was a really good guy. He was a warm, wonderful person. And can't say that about too many people in our business, unfortunately. But but I absolutely can say that about Barry. He will be missed. The stories will continue, but he will be missed.
Now, he was doing a book, right? I mean,
well, I've got the interesting thing is he finished the book and he sent it to me to edit it, not for grammar like his kids, but actually for content, because there were some things he confused and mixed up, you know, historically speaking. And I had had made the corrections. I had not sent it back yet. And I, in fact, when I wrote to Dee, I said, this is not the time to think about it. But if you ever decide you're going to publish, I will send you all those corrections. And, you know, I don't know if she will. It was a great book, by the way. I loved it.
Yeah.
So I hope they'll do something with it. And if they do absolutely nothing with it, which I can understand, not everybody wants to become a publisher, mm-hmm. but if that's the route they want to go, I'll ask if I have permission to get it on someplace like World Radio History.
Yeah, that's David Gleason's site, right?
Yes. Yes, someone else on my callback list, and he hasn't been feeling too good. David, stay alive. All right, I will get there. I will.
I see him on the discussion boards.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
And he's another great guy.
Oh, he is.
I've messaged him a few times. I haven't talked to him personally, but I mean, he's emailed me back.
Yeah. He refuses to take even a dime for that website. That's just a labor of love, and it is the best repository of broadcasting publications ever. And I hope that he's got some plan for continuance, if anything, hopefully doesn't, at least not in my lifetime, happen to him. But I'd hate to see this go away, because it is just a jewel. You know, there's a couple things I keep meaning to tell him, like in 1960 Broadcasting Yearbook, he's missing four pages, you know, things like that. But when you're going ahead and duplicating things so quickly and all that, that'll happen. But I've wanted to go through to make those corrections.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like those guys, you are an original, too. So. Speaking of books, book, I'm going to reread it, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's like one of these, you know, how you always watch a movie over and over that you love.
Yeah.
You get tired of it. Well, your book is the same way.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's kind of in layers. You know, the obvious stuff is a lot of fun, but then beneath it is some interesting concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, so... It's I thank you. I just wanted to.
No, I'm glad you did, and I'm glad you broke the ice on that, to use one of these phrases, because I didn't know. There was no way I could open the show and talk about Barry. I just would have lost it. So I'm glad you opened the door for that, and he will not be forgotten. You know, one last thing is that. He was such a victim of racism twice and probably more, but twice big time in his career. When he was at Whale and it became number one, I mean, Whale was so unbelievable. It was a little move-in from Slidell, Louisiana, that literally took over the market. But the competitor, WYLD, pulled out the race card and went to all the advertisers and said, you don't want to buy from those OFAs. Buy from a black-owned radio station. And they literally economically killed Whale. Station wound up going Adult Contemporary. So Barry went from there. Barry was it there. He went from KGFJ in Los Angeles, where he was hired, inner city. And he was great. But for what reason, who knows? Jack the Rapper, Jack Gibson, who had a publication at the time, I think he called it Mellow Yellow, though it went under different names. But in any event, he really started in on inner city, saying basically, how can you hire this OFA? He's a Wigger. You need to have a black man in this position, you know, all that. Well, they did it so long that finally they fired Barry because they couldn't take the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unfortunate. They tried not to pay him, but that's not a good thing to do when I'll testify as an expert witness. We'll leave it at that. He got his money.
He was a record promoter, too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that is what, you know, Barry never made a lot of money, like most of us in radio. And he did a lot of interesting things, you know, that Double Mint Gum tour with Hall & Oates before they were really big and all that kind of stuff. And so many things, but nothing ever really put money in the bank. And then he became an independent promotion man through the late Charlie Minor, actually. And I'll tell you what, like, like he said, I never knew money before. This is unbelievable. And at that point, never again did I pay for anything. You know, if we were together, he said, I'm buying dinner. Who do you want to bring? And, you know, because he was generous, but he was rolling in it at the end and kind of laughing about. And of course, now that whole era is over. And we talked about that, too, how it doesn't exist anymore. But for a good decade, it did. And he made the kind of coin that, you know, buys $1 million houses.
So you can say he had the last laugh.
Yes, really. Yes. And, you know, one of the things we were talking about when we were together was how that is completely over now and all that. And, you know, we kind of maudlin talked about how, hell, it's all over, you know, and all that. Well, all I can say is Barry is in a better place. I know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, up there in the great radio station in the sky.
Right, right. Back with his son, Stevie. Yeah. You betcha.
Yeah. All righty. Well, all right. Thanks a lot tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing it up. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right. So that's where we'll pick it up. We're going to get to Johnny in Austin. We got Marty and White and Ken in Chicago and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
I see that worried look upon your face. You got your troubles, I got mine. She's found somebody else to take your place. You got your troubles, I got mine.
WGN Radio. That's only 45 seconds of Lisa's requests from Joliet, so we'll get to more of it. We'll pick it up right there, actually, right after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there's a little more about Lou Christie doing You Got Your Troubles, which was Lisa from Joliet's request. And Pittsburgh Record, by virtue of that Lou Christie put it on an album, that Lightning Strikes album had a lot of covers. But originally British Record, of course, you know the fortunes. But it was written by David and Jonathan, who were a singing duo. Their actual name were Roger Cook and Roger Greenaway. And they wrote a lot of things, including You Got Your Troubles. And it was covered by more people than, well, it'd be surprising if you saw the amount of people who covered that song for reasons that who knows. Yeah, your basic Jack Jones and Brenda Lees. I am not making that up. Yeah, and it gets worse. Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah, You Got Your Troubles. Wayne Newton. I Got Mine. The White Plains. Oh, God. Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan. I've actually got that. It's worse than you'd realize. Neil Diamond, of course. And yeah, so there you have yet another version of that. That was, in fact, Lou Christie. But yeah, I don't know what possessed Jack and Misty to do that. I was kind of hoping that it would be, you know, like Tennessee Birdwalk, some more of their humorous stuff. But no, they, for some reason, were deadly serious.
I see that worried look upon your face. You got your troubles, I got mine.
You found somebody else to take my place. You got your troubles, and I've got mine.
Yeah, I told you it was worse than you thought. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And do not go away. Johnny and I are going to be talking about Windows. Oh, it was another horrible day for me. Yeah, in my case, Windows 11, the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to networking. It's like dealing with an onion. You pair one layer and you get another layer. And then, God forbid you map something. Don't map anything. Yeah, it'll be hidden in 32 places. If you want to undo it, forget it. You might as well just throw in the towel. I could give you tons of tips on why you don't have to throw in the towel. But ultimately, after the 65 hours you spend trying them out, you'll realize that reformatting is the answer. Yeah, just unacceptable. But we'll get there. However, want to dispense with some quick things first. Cindy had a request. All right, so Cindy, what's your request?
And When I Die by Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Okay, I can do that.
I wish I could have gone to the Crosstown Classic. You know, I would have got, if, you know, the anniversary of Chuck's death is coming up in about 3 weeks. And, okay. You know, we went, I wish I could, I would have gotten tickets. And then, you know, it's not politically correct to laugh about the beer brawl and the bleachers. But
I don't know. That's just another level of entertainment, actually. You're fine with that. We'll get your blood, sweat, and tears on for you, I promise. Yeah, whenever that kind of thing happens around me, I always have the same reaction. Oh, the entertainment's arrived. Yeah, exactly, and usually that's the case. All right, what do we have? Ken has a request and a joke. All right, maybe the request is a joke. Depends on what he wants to hear. Hello, Ken. Welcome back.
I think that he even covered that song, too.
Everybody. So, what you got?
Soon to be covered by The Enchantment.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought this up because, not like I don't have anything else to do, right? But last night after the show, I came up with 10 enchantments. The first enchantments that I came up with, 1965 on Faro, an East L.A. label. Their record was I'm in Love with Your Daughter. Then the second one was a New York group on Ritz, I Love My Baby. The third one was 1962 on Gone, I Love You, Sherry. The fourth one was Pittsburgh record on Romac, Popeye. The fifth one came from Lindenhurst, New York, I Could Never Love Another. The sixth one came from Clifton, New Jersey, Ronnie Oh, Rosemary. The seventh one, Enchanted Mountains. You don't want to hear this. 1966 on Bright Star, a Nashville label. The eighth one was The Enchantments doing Try Me, 1965 on Century Custom. And then we have Buddy Dean and The Enchantments, 1961 on Saint Mama.
Who did Try Me?
Try Me was in fact The Enchantments.
That's why I keep telling Cindy.
Yeah, stop it. And then we also have Enchantment Without an S doing Gloria, which was a wonderful and big hit.
Oh,
So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyways, I got to have three guys. Four would be great. Three I might have to do with. They got to live in Chicago. They got to be able to practice one day a week. That's the hard part.
Yes.
You don't have to have a voice. We'll develop that.
Well, you have to have somewhat of a voice, but maybe not. You know, if you can't carry a tune even with handles, forget about it. You know, so you're going to have some basic ability.
Yeah, singing doo-wop a cappella is like a sophisticated form of row, row, row your boat.
Oh, there are plenty of people who would just cringe at that comparison, but okay. And yes, we have Ken's number, so if you want to be a budding doo-wop singer, Ken wants to get a group together soon to play in bathrooms near you. All right, so what are your requests?
All right. First of all, I got a joke. What do you call it when Queen Victoria finishes her business in the bathroom?
What?
A royal flush.
Next. Next.
Baby, I'm For Real, the original.
Oh, yes. You had mentioned that the other night. It's coming up tonight. I actually already have it on the docket. Yes.
I'm willing to wait.
Okay.
And Raleigh, you'll always have friends as long as you're on the radio.
Ah, well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah. You and John you're feeling lonely and want to talk to someone, you can always call me for a price.
Well, like I say, the only way to get off my call list is to do a callback list just to die. So sadly, I don't do my part. And that's unfortunate, but it's reality.
You and John are friends, all of us, because I live alone.
Ah.
And I listen to you. You know, I consider you my friend, even though we never met.
Well, thank you for that. All right. Other than Baby I'm For Real, the originals, did you have others?
Did I have others?
Yeah, I didn't know.
I wanted a different version of Magic Town.
Oh, right. That was it. All right,
yeah,
I'll do
Magic
it.
Yeah, Magic, even though I love the Vogues.
You're right, you want to hear something different. I got that. I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. I knew there was one, and it's probably on the same piece of paper, which is getting long now, to say the least. All right, so, and we're going to talk to Marty also about the drummer from ZZ Top dying. Very sad. But he'd been in hospice, but we'll get to that. But speaking of the Austin area, Johnny is in Austin, and in moments, we are going to going to commiserate, I can just tell. But, you know, National Radio Day is coming up this weekend. Well, not weekend, this week, actually. It is in 2 days. It's Thursday, 20th, is National Radio Day. And if you want to celebrate, what a great way, get yourself a CC Pocket Radio. That's right. Celebrate the simple connection radio makes with generations, truly. And the Pocket is one of the most popular radios on the market for good reason. It'll fit in the palm of your hand or in your purse if you're a gal, carrying it, or in your pocket if you're a guy, actually. So it's lightweight, and it makes a great gift, too. It's AM and FM, but the thing about this is that it is just like everything Bob Crane has developed. It comes with terrific AM and FM reception and crisp, clear audio. For its size, it's amazingly good, but they include, free of charge, the earbuds that are just terrific. Makes it sound absolutely big time. But even if you're just using the built-in speaker, yeah, you'll be picking more up with this radio than any other little handheld radio you've ever had. Now, it's got a digital readout, and it's got some presets and all that, 5 memory buttons for presets, and it also makes a great emergency radio because it's got a lighted dial and a NOAA weather band with an alert, a very lightweight, very durable, easy to hold with rubber sides and a pocket clip. And, you know, as I mentioned, I'm very hard on my toys. Oh, God, am I? And my CC Pocket still works. That says it all. You can go on online anytime to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Take a look at the CC Pocket. I think you're going to like this. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, or if you wind up with some questions about it, that is 800-522-TUNE, T-U-N-E, 800-522-8863. Oh, sure, you can get quicker shipping at Amazon, I'm sure, but go to the Sea Crane site first and read all about this, ccradio.com. Take a look at that CC Pocket. I think it will be a fine addition to your radio arsenal. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
All right, is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Well, this cat named
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Another one of Lisa's requests was Mickey's Monkey, 1963 on Tamla. Of course, it's the Miracles. All right, and I did pick out the version of Magic Town I wanted to play for Kenton, so we'll get there. But right now, joining me in my misery is Johnny in Austin. So welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, I got a couple of quick topics before I get to
the horror,
the bad one.
Yes,
the tech thing.
Yes.
Who in the world developed the term yacht rock?
I don't know. I don't know. But for the most part, most of that stuff, I love it because it's just awful. Now, some of it's good, but you know, when you're talking Christopher Cross, it's so deserved.
What about, like, England Dan and John Ford Coley?
Yeah, it depends on which song.
Yeah. I just wonder where in the heck it came from.
It's a comedy bit. All right. It's online. There was a internet video series, Yacht Rock. That's what it was called, and it was three or four, maybe five, I don't know, a bunch of comedy writers. And so
I did actually see that.
Yeah, so that's where it comes from. And
Is that going to last a long time? Is that going to last the test of time, that term? I mean, I'm comparing it to, like, jam and oldies.
Well, I hope it lasts longer than some of the songs, but I don't know. it's hard to say. I don't think anybody actually used, I hope nobody uses it, a real positioning statement. I mean,
Sirius XM's got a yacht.
Oh, well,
rock
yeah,
station.
But come on. Sirius XM also has 1,432 album oriented channels. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm exaggerating, but not by that much.
Oh, speaking of, we'll get off that. I mean, I don't have a negative or positive. I just was curious. It's just like, okay, this just appeared. Where did it come from? That Mickey's Monkey. I played on a Sunday night show. When I came in the studio to do last Sunday's show, the AC was out, and it was 85 degrees.
No.
Yes.
No.
And
no.
I had to get the fans going, to keep everything cool.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, no.
You've got to do that. Including yourself.
Well, right, exactly. And, of course, thank God it's not video, because you can take off of most of your clothes, but there's only so much anyone can take off. Hot is hot.
You can only get so naked.
That's exactly right.
But
let me interrupt. I had to look this up. There are commercial radio stations like Yacht Rock for Coastal Virginia, 92.9 The Wave.
Uh-huh. Lovely.
Now, in Key West, Mellow Yacht Rock for Key West, 93.7. Uh-huh. Then in Omaha, I can't imagine Omaha, there's no water around, but Yacht Rock, 1180. And then, of course, we have WINX Maryland's Eastern Shore doing Dockside Radio, Yacht Rock, Buffett, and Coastal Country. Now there's a trifecta. Oh,
yeah,
man.
You can do a lot with that.
Yes,
but I just wonder. You know, like, to me, that jam and oldies was a big flash in the pan.
Well, you know, I mean, positioning statements come and go, of course, but I'm not 100% sure that I'd be very proud to bring you Yacht Rock. But then again, if I was going to bring you Yacht Rock, Jimmy Buffett, and Coastal Country together, well, it might fit. But
well, yeah, you're thinking, you're on track there. Yeah. So I wanted to just hit a couple of things real quick. But it was Sunday night was weird, because if you've ever worked in heat like that,
oh yes,
you get really for 6 hours.
Yes,
and you get dingy.
Yes,
you really do. You just like
yes.
And everything went well. You know, no big problems, but it was miserable. God, it was miserable.
Oh yeah, no. Entire radio stations have been that way, like WSID in Baltimore. That was on a building that was, you know, mostly for storage and stuff like that. It had no air conditioner. So what they did in summer was the Eatons, generous family that they were, brought in a big block of ice, and they put a fan in behind the block of ice so that it would blow on the announcer. And
so where did the ice drip to?
Well, not only that, Hal Jackson nipped his finger and blood everywhere, and all Eaton said was, be careful, you know.
Oh, man, that's innovation right there,
yeah.
I've got to tell you.
Yeah, so it happens.
Another thing I wanted to mention, I read Dan Mason's book, Radio Dan.
Oh, yeah, you're in it, of course. You did contribute, and I've read it, too, and I plan to have him on soon to talk about it.
I was just wondering, do you have any time frame of when he's going to be on? I'm really looking forward to hearing him.
Yeah,
he does good interviews.
Yeah, you will know. I've just been living in so hell, I haven't had John call him yet. But hopefully in the next week or so, we'll get together and get it, and I'll definitely let you know in advance.
Yeah, because you've read the book. There's a lot more even about radio. And, you know, we had our issues, but even through all that, we remain very good friends all these years and respect each other, and that's pretty rare.
Well, and obviously he shares that sentiment because he gave you really an entire chapter there.
Yeah, he called me and said, can you do me a favor? And I said, what? You know, because he had sent me some of the chapters
right.
to proofread before. And I just asked for my opinion and everything. And I thought, everything's all settled. And he said, Johnny Gaughan. I said, yeah. He said, I need a favor. I said, what you need? I need you to, he said, all of my books is all about all these people in suits and everything. And I need a disc jockey. And it's Johnny Gaughan.
Absolutely. I want you to hang on there. We'll pick it up right there after the news. Don't go away. Right here on WGN Radio.
They told me the streets were all paved with gold, but these dirty sidewalks are gray and concrete. In no time, but here I am, and I'm down to my last dime. I just don't know why I bother to try when nobody here gives a hand if I live or die. Hey, where's the magic?
I'm Raleigh James. So I say, who is that? Well, Ken wanted a different version of Magic Town, so I thought we'd take Great Britain's Johnny Mathis. Yeah, that's the way they used to prefer this guy. He was from South Africa, and granted, probably not many people stateside ever heard him in terms of doing Magic Town, but you absolutely did remember him from his one top 10 hit from 1964.
White on white, lace on satin, blue velvet ribbons on her bouquet. White on white, lace on satin, my little angel is getting married today.
That was his biggest hit in the States. In Great Britain, it was his version of Moon River in 1961 that got to number one on the charts there. But yeah, Danny Williams from South Africa. All right, now, end of fun time. We're getting into Johnny here and technical hell. So carry on.
By the way, real quick here, I make it a point not to call every week because I don't want to.
I don't know why not.
I'm here to be calling to plug my radio show. It's not. You've been so kind, and I don't want to wear out my welcome.
Well, you can't.
So, you can't.
By the way, it's a labor of love. You get nothing from this other than the pleasure of sharing the music you love with other people. So I am more than happy to remind people that soulofthecity.net, Sundays from 6 to midnight Central Time.
Yeah, and the flagship station is HoustonRadioPlatinum.com.
Absolutely.
And also, just if your listeners, I mean, I'm also on that station every morning from 5 to 10 a.m. Central Time. It's not playing all soul.
No.
There's a lot of rock and some pop in there and stuff, but people might like that too. So you can go to that same link, soulofthecity.net, and when you hit that, it's going to play whatever that station's playing. So you can hear me in the morning from 5 to 10. You might like it. You might hate it. I mean, but check it out.
All right.
I mean, you know, it's... but that's not my real love.
But,
right there. But Sunday nights are.
Yeah.
I was gonna bring up a topic of Bucky's convenience store.
Oh,
drop
yes.
that. Well. Anyway, they're kind of notorious for suing people to protect their franchise. I understand all that, but now they're suing this little. Oh, God, it's a little mart, and I think it's Beaver Creek, Ohio. And so Bucky's is this up, for your listeners that don't know, it's this upscale, really cool, well, truck stop, convenience store, whatever, but it's really nice. And people that love Bucky's love it, and it's got a logo of a beaver on it, a cartoon character, right? So what? So they've brought lawsuits against people that are copying their beaver face thing, right? Well, this thing in I think it's Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Yeah, it is.
They're known for beavers there, and they've got this beaver mart or something.
Yeah.
And I think at this time Bucky's is playing a little bully here because they're going after them. And the whole town's all about beavers. And if you look at the news story online, you're going to see the two logos side by side. And that beaver little mini mart place, that cartoon of a beaver doesn't even resemble Bucky's.
That's going to be the deciding factor, I believe.
I just don't like bullying. I understand, you know, you got to protect your copyright and all. I totally get it. But, you know, that's just total BS right there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, beavers are beavers. There is a similarity to the two logos, but there would be because they're both beavers. Of course, you've got Bucky, the red and yellow and brown logo. They've been growing in leaps and bounds. And I'll tell you, whoever does their PR does an excellent job because when they came to a suburb west of Phoenix, you'd have thought it was the second coming of Christ. I mean, it was unbelievable. But anyway, so they got this this yellow circle with this beaver, and then you've got Beaver's Mini Mart, which has more of a full size beaver. But the face, of course, is similar because it is a beaver, and so you know it's going to be interesting how the courts rule. I think that in terms of PR results, it's not going to help them, obviously. But you know, obviously you want to defend your trademark. That I understand. You have to, or you'll lose it. But, you know, how close is this and how they're going about it? Well, that's going to be interesting to see how the courts rule.
Well, that little town is all about beavers.
Well, Beaver Creek, absolutely. It's a suburb.
And I think the school, the beavers, I mean, it's a beaver mascot. It's all over the place. So I think, and as much as I love Bucky's, I do, but I just don't like, when you take something too far, and I think they've gone way too far on that.
Well, Beaver Creek is halfway between Xenia and Dayton, so it's widely traveled. It's not an interstate, though. I think it's Highway 39, if I remember. It could be 35, but been too many years since I drove that regularly. But in any event, that is... you know, that is getting a lot of publicity that they did not want. Now, they have...
Who didn't want it? Bucky's or the little...
Bucky's. So, the little town, I think the little town is probably just absolutely, other than the legal costs, thrilled with it, you know, because it really puts them on the map, literally. But I think that Bucky's can't be too thrilled. But let's find out what their other recent lawsuits...
What it didn't say in the article, though, was how old is this little... Bucky's Mini Mart in Beaver, whatever it is.
Well, and that's going to be a factor too, obviously. So
I don't think they stole anything.
Well, how much can stylize a beaver? But they filed literally dozens of lawsuits since 2023. They sued a North Georgia convenience store that was Teddy's. because they said the cartoon teddy bear was too similar to Bucky's beaver, because both are two syllables names, wear hats, and show their tongues. Yeah, right. Teddy's.
It's been settled.
Well, no, this was 2026, so no, it hasn't been yet. But Teddy's filed a counterclaim to challenge the validity of Bucky's trademarks. Then there was Mickey's, and that was this year as well. Mickey's convenience store, also in Ohio, and this was a rebrand. So what they're saying is that Mickey's cartoon moose is wide-eyed, smiling, and set on a circular background, infringing on their brand. I don't think so. Then you have a federal lawsuit that was settled against a Florida Oddities realtor, a retailer, Prometheus Esoterica, and they were ordered to permanently stop selling and destroy merchandise that featured alters or parodies versions of Bucky's Beaver. Well, I would agree with that. If you take mm-hmm. Bucky's Beaver and you turn it into an obscenity, which I have a feeling is what Prometheus Esoterica did, that's not going to fly. So I'll give it that one. Nom Nom, Par Hawaii, and Par Hawaii has Nom Nom, which utilizes a cartoon rodent. That settled out of court, and I don't know how. Choke Canyon went to trial. And unfortunately, Bucky's was successful, suing Choke Canyon over a logo featuring a similar smiling alligator inside a yellow circle. A federal jury ruled the alligator logo infringed on Bucky's trademarks. But then there was one that they lost going back almost a decade, 2018. Bucky's lost a major trademark dispute against Nebraska Bucks, which originates and operates Bucky's, B-U-C-K-Y apostrophe S, convenience stores. Well, because of a prior agreement between the chains, a federal judge dismissed Bucky's claims, and an arbiter awarded Bucky's $400,000 in legal fees. Yeah, because obviously Bucky's with the two E's is not a long-standing location. So obviously, back in 2009, they made a deal with Bucky's, and then they turned in with CKY. Then they turned around and sued them, and they lost big time. But it's interesting. Of all the suits, obviously I don't have the details, but the thing that I can say is I would side with them on Prometheus Esoterica. They need to stop that, and they did. But in terms of Teddy's Mart or Mickey's Mart, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, and they're both this year.
Well, yeah, we'll see. It just seems like they're a bit aggressive, and that's all right. You know, I understand all that, but this deal in Beaverton or wherever,
Beaver Creek,
Ohio, that looks ridiculous to me. But anyway, let's get on to the subject at hand. Do you have a break coming up right now?
I can if as far as that goes. But I'm looking at another Beavers, by the way.
It's Beaver Night.
Right, that's it. That's it. All right. Yes, Beaver Talk continues. We'll do this and play another bumper. Don't go anywhere. Yeah, on WGN Radio.
Baby, baby, you don't understand how much I love you, baby, and how much I wanna be your only man. Oh, baby. Don't have to go. Stay a little while longer, baby. I wanna talk to you just a little more. I see the little tears in your eyes about to fall. You are wondering if I'm for real. But if you cry, I wonder why you cry.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, it was Marvin Gaye proving to Motown that soul ballads could still work in 1969 on the Soul label. So more on that story, but the heck with it. Back to Johnny, and plenty more on Beavers. But we'll leave them doing whatever it is that Beavers.
Well, yeah, I've yet to meet Fran and Gary, but Fran was telling me that she wants to get together when it cools off because it's brutally hot here. But
yeah,
I think it's in storage. But Fran, are you gonna wear your Beavers?
Okay then.
No. She has a beautiful. She talks about it all the time.
Okay.
So be sure and have that on hand. Get it out of storage because it's going to be cold when it gets cold in Austin. It's very cold. Let's talk about windows if we must. And this is, I really need help on this.
Uh-oh.
I'm really serious. Okay. Windows 10. I've got about three of them.
Oh, that's not a problem. Yeah, if you're talking about networking, Windows 10 is a walk in the park. It's Windows 11 that will go drive you crazy. But anyway, okay.
Well, here's the situation. They claim that if you don't do this, you run the risk of having, if you're not protected against this little update that they gave a long time ago, that you're subject to getting this virus that is going to, when you turn your computer on, it's gonna mess up your computer right away. And it won't boot up and all that, and it's a real mess. So what they're trying to do is get people to
pay the $30.
Well, yeah, paying the $30, then you keep. Now I'm not an expert here, but you keep your local license, whatever.
It's not about that. It's having access to the critical security updates.
Exactly, but there's another thing that they do that they're offering where you can go do this same kind of thing for free, for not the $30, but then it puts all your stuff up in a cloud or something.
Yeah, you're talking about OneDrive. I wouldn't.
And a friend of mine in the computer business said, no, don't do that.
I wouldn't. I never advise people have a Microsoft account. That's number one. I wouldn't operate with a Microsoft account. Let me ask you this, though.
If you pay the $30 and do this to get these security updates for another year.
Yeah.
Do I have to have a account to do that?
Well, you probably do have an account right now if you've been getting these advertisements from them.
No, I just see it on there when I go there.
Hang on a minute. We'll talk about it after the news. Stay where you are. Don't go away on WGN Radio.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and Nick wanted to hear a version of I Left My Heart in San Francisco, and this is one of the few songs where the hit version is absolutely the best. And there's over 100 versions of this, and I listen to them damn near all. It's a very interesting history as far as that goes. It was written in 1953, and no one really heard it until 9 years later when Tony Bennett did it. And what happened was originally a signature song of a cabaret performer. I'm trying to think of what her name. Clara Mae Turner was her, and she used it as an encore in her show, but she never recorded it. She did suggest to Tennessee Ernie Ford that he record it, and he declined, and that was pretty much the end of it. But then Tony Bennett was on tour, and he was going to be at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco, and that's where KSFO was, in the lobby. In any event, his accompanist had the music and said to Tony, you know, you ought to hear this. And he said, yeah, okay. So there in the Venetian Room at the Fairmont Hotel, Tony Bennett sang it before he recorded it, actually, like in 1961. And the mayor of San Francisco and the future mayor of San Francisco were both in attendance. And so Bennett sang it any time he'd appear at the Venetian Room. But then in early 62, Columbia said, let's record this. And they half-heartedly, actually, because they put it on a B-side. Once Upon a Time was the A-side, which I thought was a great record, but it you know, made it like number 19 nationally. But somebody flipped the record, and I really don't know who, and it wound up on the charts for darn near a year. It got a Grammy for Record of the Year and Best Male Solo Performance and all of that, and it was just huge. So that's the deal of that. All right. So now back to Johnny. All right.
Nobody could have done that better than Tony.
See, that's it. And you're so right. And part of it's Tony Bennett, absolutely. But part of it is also the way it was produced and how they did that. I mean, it just worked.
It did.
Yeah, in every way.
Favorite songs. Thank you, whoever requested.
That was Nick.
Requested that?
Yeah, Nick. Nick and
Nick, you got good taste, my brother.
There you go. Yeah, he said.
All right, let's go back to the dreaded Windows 10. So
you do. Right, you do.
I've got a choice to make, and I'm a little foggy.
Well, I wouldn't.
I'm all for paying the $30.
No, you'd have to create the account. What you could do is once you set up the updates, you could then go back to your local account and not use the account. So you could do that. But, you know, you're talking about a year of updates and that's it. So you're going to have this problem again and relatively soon. And so I would say the heck with this, figure out a way. I hate to get on 11 and I don't ever suggest anybody network on it. Oh, my good God. But is the problem that the computers you have are not capable of 11?
No, they're not.
Yeah. So that means new hardware. By the way, even if they're not capable of 11, many computers are running it anyway, but there's a bit of instability in that. So I don't necessarily advise it.
What they're saying is you need these updates because if you didn't get that particular update,
well, no, that's true.
Whatever,
that's true.
Then you're running the risk.
You are running a risk. It's true. Wait a minute. Let's talk about how much of a risk. Okay, I assume you're not in the cloud for anything. And is that correct?
Not that I know. I wouldn't want to be.
All right. So you're not in the cloud for any.
All right.
So and you're not downloading things off the internet, are you?
What do you mean? Give me an example.
A song.
No.
Okay. So you're not getting.
I may download something like that KYOK thing that you sent me or something like that.
No, that's not downloading it. I'm just saying, yeah. But if you got an email from someone anonymously, you wouldn't open their attachment.
Oh, no.
Right. So, I'm sending you something as an attachment. You don't have to download it. All right. As long as you conduct yourself with the utmost in hygiene, and I know there are iTech people who specialize in security who would be vomiting by this, but the reality is that you're not running a huge risk. Now, are you running a risk? They're right, you are running a risk, but it's not huge to you because you're not engaging in any of the behavior that would cause you to be infected. Now, again, if you made a mistake and downloaded the wrong file, you could be over in a minute. If you want to do this, if you've got a lot on your computers where you're saying, God, I'd hate to lose that, I would take that content and put it on a drive that you don't have connected to your computer. Whatever. A little SSD or something that...
Well, I would do that.
So then you're not risking losing much if you are infected, because you're going to have all of the stuff you care about on your SSD, your external.
True, but I don't want to lose my computer so it won't boot up anymore.
Well, you know? No, I understand you don't want to do that, but it wouldn't be catastrophic if you had to replace it. You could put your content back on it.
Oh, I got it. I see what you're saying.
You know.
Well, but anyway, so there's a choice. I pay $30.
Well, yeah, but
and computer.
Yeah, pay $30 and have a Microsoft account, and you've only solved it for a year.
Well, but that's not the end of the world. It's this other option. This whatever this is about. Oh, getting it free and signing up and
yeah, but you see, the minute
getting in the cloud and all that.
The minute you get in the quote unquote cloud, of course anybody should know there's no such thing as a cloud. There's nothing fluffy and white above your head. It's just a server somewhere. But here is the deal: the minute you do that, you're opening yourself up to the kind of attacks that you don't have now. So I just would not suggest you do it.
Just do nothing?
Well, by do nothing, yeah, but be careful of your own behavior. But if my options were... I understand, but here's how people get hooked. They get an email, and they're running through a lot of email, and they're looking quickly, and they think they know the person, and they think it's something that's not going to harm them. So as long as you're willing to be very vigilant, when you go to a site, you don't download anything from the site... then you know the likelihood that you're going to have a problem is fairly minimal. Could it happen? Yes, it could happen, but the ICBMs could crest the pole tonight too. I'm not going to worry about either. So that's, you know, obviously there's no great options here where I'd say, oh man, this is solid and you got no problem. But out of the three that you're offering me, which is one, stay the way you are and be anonymous. Two is pay for the update, but you have to join and have a Microsoft account, even though you don't have to use it later. You have to have it. And three is to get in the cloud to get the updates. Well, three is out of the question. I wouldn't do that in a million years. Then two, I wouldn't do it either. So I'd go with one, but just be vigilant.
So you're saying don't pay the $30, don't do anything, just leave it alone.
Yeah, and be very vigilant. Understanding.
I ran XP for the longest.
Well,
but it even says if you got protection on there, ESET or whatever you're running, or Malwarebytes Premium,
well,
all that, that's not going to help you because. This bug is way ahead of that.
Right.
It's going to happen before that can even catch it.
That's probably true. Because...
So they're saying, well, you need this little fix. Yeah. You need this little update.
Well, and
waste anybody's time, but maybe the people out there asking the same thing I'm asking.
I'm telling you what the reality is on that, and they're right that your Malwarebytes and all that won't catch it in time because they will their updates will be lagging. And so what Microsoft is trying to say is, hey, we're going to protect you the minute it's known. These other people may take a while, and you could be exposed in the meantime. That's what they're saying. But again, the reality is, if you're not engaging in any risky behavior whatsoever. And that includes things like, hey, I've got my desktop at home, but when I'm out, I'm using my laptop. And gee, I've used my laptop and I've been on some public sites. Now, when I come back home, I connect the laptop to my computer. Oh, no, you don't. Not with what you're talking about.
No.
So, all right. So as long as you're not not doing those things, I don't see a tremendous downside. But again, if you're going to go this route, and I do this, you know, quickly, make sure you've got an SSD with plenty of room and put every file that you remotely care about on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it won't matter. The worst you'd have to do is get a new computer and just reload your content.
But once if that bug gets in there, whatever it is, that you don't have the security patch for, that they sent it out, but you never got it. You're lacking updates. and what they're telling.
Well, no, what they're saying is they would update it automatically in this system. But then, you know, you'd be dealing with Windows updates, which, you know, can be the updates from hell and all that. But again, yeah, they're using scare tactics, and for some people, it's absolutely true. But your behavior is not particularly risky.
I got you.
So, but you know, like anything else, it's somewhat of a gamble. But in this case, the odds are dramatically in your favor. It's still a gamble. But hell, you can use up to the latest updates there are and all that, and still be caught if something just goes terribly wrong. So, you know, that's and believe me,
I just don't want to lose my. I mean, I understand about backups. That's fine.
Well, that
but I just don't want to.
Okay,
lose
I don't want you computers. To do, I don't want you to do backups in the traditional. Sense. I don't yeah. advise those whatsoever. I am talking about individually backing up every file. Individually.
Uh-huh.
And you can do it. Yeah, obviously you can do it as a folder. If you've got a folder of 3,400 hits, fine. Put that folder in there. But don't use any feature that's automatically automatically backing up. Because if you do that, you may inadvertently be backing up the problem. So just have your files separately on that and make it an SSD and so they're not terribly expensive. Crucial's got some good ones. Samsung has some good ones. You got a lot of choices. So fine. So do that. And then if you're saying, gee, I don't want the headache of having to get a new computer, well, you're going to have that headache at some point in the relatively near future anyway.
Do you think that's this Windows 11 is going to be a disaster like Vista was?
No, Windows 11 is a disaster, but not like Vista. Vista was, just like Windows 8 was a disaster. And Windows 8 was a disaster because there were so many back doors, it was drafty. I mean, you know, why do you think the government allowed Microsoft not to break up? But that's now I'm becoming conspiratorialist. But anyway, yeah, Windows 8 was a disaster. Windows 11 has disastrous elements to it, but a user like you will never encounter them. It's only idiots like me that are working with command language and prompts and all that, okay? So, you know, I can descend into hell quickly, and believe me, when I reformat some of these machines, they're going to be bare bones, because what Windows 11 has done in the name of security is, let's say you set up a user and share a folder and create, you map a network drive to it, which, you know, right there, you're probably lost. But anyway, if you do, where it's going to hold that information is in a few places, maybe as many as a dozen places, and you are not going to have access to all of them. So when you disconnect it and go to map something else, you wind up with conflicts out the yin yang, and you know, it may prevent you from opening the share. So I don't suggest anyone map network drives with Windows 11. It's just too fraught with hidden problems. But you're not going to do that. So it wouldn't be a problem for you. As an end user with nothing like that on it, it's no worse or better than any of the others.
I've still got a 7 I'm running.
Well, obviously that would be prone to the same problems of anything else. They're not writing the descriptions. But, you know, even with the descriptions, you can still be caught out there. So I wouldn't.
It's all at risk.
I just watch your behavior. But I'm not a real fan of keeping ancient computers around, because ultimately you wind up where the software you want doesn't load, you know, what you want to put on there and all that. You start you start having headaches. And Windows computers especially are so damn cheap it's easy. And the reason is because, of course, they have all that bloatware. And the first thing you do if you're smart is you eliminate all that bloatware. That's why
It's a waste of space.
Right. I counted. There are over 110 changes I need to make when I install Windows 11 before I can do anything with it. It's like 113 or something actual changes I have to make to that program before I can use it.
Are you doing this for your radio station?
Oh, of course. Believe me, we're talking 30-35 computers. This is a lot of computers.
Oh my God!
But I didn't, believe me, I didn't screw up. You know, some of it I did excellently well and it's fine. But the stuff I screwed up only involves four serious computers and two not so serious. So a total of six computers. So it's not the end of the world. But the problem is, you know, for a while I was looking at ways to workarounds, and all of which fell short of what I wanted. So ultimately I decided, nope, I'm reformatting the drives from scratch. And of course, because of what I have to do to make Windows acceptable to me, that'll take me a few hours per machine. But so what?
Can you believe you can make this work?
Well, of course I can. I made it work before. I'll make it work again. I've been doing this for years. I've had computers since I bought the Tandy Trash 80 way back when.
Gosh.
And,
yeah.
When Apple first brought out their computers in 79, I had to have one of those, you know, and all that.
So you go way back.
And then the IBM.
I'm a novice with a lot of this stuff. I really am.
Well, you know, I mourned when Windows came into being because I was a girl who memorized every DOS command. And so I was just very happy, like if I was on a Mac using Terminal and just entering that way. But with it's funny because I always say Windows was DOS trying to be Mac, you know, making it GUI, a graphical user interface. But the reality in more recent years, many of the things that I love so much about Mac have gone away. They've become more like Windows. You've got some read-only memory in the operating system, and that to me is detestable because I want an operating system that I can tweak. Now, you might say to yourself, and you'd be right, well, Raleigh, just use Linux. I am a very old dog, and after muddling through Red Hat, then it was Ubuntu, and then it was, and then it was, and then it was. So, you know, that's a young man's game. I'm too old for this. I don't have the kind of time.
I hear you.
So,
by the way, I'm going to get off here and let somebody else call in who's waiting.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. But I am featuring at 8 p.m. Sunday night on the Soul.
Don't say this yet. Don't say this because GN went into commercials because I was so long-winded. After the news, we'll have you back on to do one more plug on that. But
that's cool.
And now there's another option for you because you're not. The reason I have any PCs machines at all is because there are certain programs you need if you're a commercial radio station that exist only in the Windows architecture, period. And so because of that, I absolutely have them. But everything I do that doesn't require that, I do on a Mac. So that might be something you consider too, because I have a feeling that everything you do could be done on a Mac.
Yeah, she said we'll be back. I was talking to Gary.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So it's something to consider because it would end some of your problems. It would create other problems, but it would end some of the big ones.
But I hate to sound like a stubborn kind of fella, but are you saying this $30 thing is a bad thing if I did it?
No, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you would have a Windows account. And you'd have to remember to move away from it when you wanted to wanted your privacy.
You're giving that away?
Well, you can't get the $30 update without having a usable Microsoft account. You've got to set it up through one.
And so that's where you get into trouble and your privacy goes away.
I consider it that way. Now, again, you can, after you download it and get everything set up to operate seamlessly, you can go ahead and, as a user, you know, you've created another user, which would be you, and you'd give yourself administrative rights, then you could change to that account. You probably got one now, actually, your local account. So you could just add a Microsoft account, do it to download your stuff, then go away from it, go back to your local account when you're operating. It's possible, but you're also, remember, telling me all that you're going to do, and I'm telling you, well, in a year, you're against the wall again, no matter what.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, so why buy the problem?
Yeah, I know. I just don't want to get messed up in the interim and start, you know, having...
You have a Windows 7 machine.
Yeah, I got a 7.
That's open to the friggin' world.
Yeah.
So,
I don't use it that much.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
I rarely even use it.
And you're not using it on a LAN with the same... Are you networking these computers amongst themselves?
No.
Oh.
No, they're all independent.
Okay.
All independent.
Well, whatever you want to do. You know, if it were me, I wouldn't do it. But could you? Sure.
But that other option about this free deal,
no,
that's really bad. That's really, because the
I don't
computer guru that I talked to said, oh, man, you don't want to go there.
I agree.
He said, you don't want to be doing that.
I agree.
But the $30 thing, you know, it's like, oh, well, maybe that's safer. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, as long as you remember to log out of the Microsoft account you created when you're using the computer, then you won't have to worry about...
You have to do that every time?
No, you just set it up where it's always going to log in that way. When you log in, you got a choice, as you know. When it well, you don't know because you're on more than one account. But when you come to your screen, if you have more than one account, it'll have, usually on the left-hand side there, you decide which one you're logging in as. So what you would do?
It usually says admin.
Well, that's right. That's because you have administrative rights and you didn't bother to name the account. All right, but it would probably say admin, and then it would also say Windows admin or something like that. It would create something else, and you'd have to remember which one you wanted to log in as. Easiest thing to do if you're going to do this, if your heart's set on this for some reason that I don't understand. But if you wanted, if you want to do that, what you want to make sure you do is that you give a completely different password to the Windows account that you create, so that way you can't mistakenly log back into it.
A completely different password. Does each one have a different password, each computer?
No, I don't care about whether computer to computer has a different password since you're isolating them. On the accounts, well, yes, the password you're talking about doesn't belong, quote-unquote, to your computer. It belongs to your account. And so if you create another account and you want to log in on that account, then that's the password you use for that. All I'm saying is these accounts, give them different passwords so you don't inadvertently connect to the wrong one.
I see. They don't make it easy, do they?
Well, I consider it really easy, but it's choices you have to make. And, you know, if you're more comfortable paying the $30 because you think the boogeyman's going to be there, even though you're not likely to be affected, then that's fine. You can do that. But to me, the cost is not $30. The cost is having a Microsoft account, even if you hardly use it.
And right now, I don't have one, right?
I don't know. Wait a minute. You may. I have no idea how you set up your computer. You may have one.
I don't know. I bought these computers refurbished.
Well, that doesn't matter. But when you sat down in front of Windows, you had to set it up. Period. Yeah. You had to.
And I had somebody do it.
Well, then that somebody either created a Microsoft account, which is the easy way to do it. I don't advise it, but it's the easy way. That's what the computer wants you to do. It will do everything it possibly can to get you to do this. Oh, man, will it ever. And so if the person...
How will I know if I have a Windows account? How would I know?
Look under accounts.
Accounts?
Yeah. This is fairly easy. You know where your settings folder is, or you should anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So on your settings folder on the left-hand side, go down to accounts. And when you go down to accounts, you will see what you've got.
I see.
So on all of that. And so what you can do is, you'll see your info and sign-in options. It's going to show you on those. If your sign-in options are through your Microsoft account, well, you know it. You probably don't have other users, but I'd absolutely look there because you don't want other users at this point. But you will have one if you don't have a Microsoft account and you created one, because then that Microsoft account would be an other user. And that's,
a friend of mine gave me three of these things, and he set them up.
All right.
And it's got the login. You got to log in.
Yeah, well, every computer, absolutely.
But anyway, I don't want to.
Well, if you go to settings accounts, then you'll see the account settings, and you'll be able to look around on that and click in on your information, click in on sign in options and your accounts. That's going to show you some of it. But hopefully your friend just kept you out of the world of a Microsoft account.
I hope you have Dan Mason on. I think you'll really like it. It's going to be good. The book's good. You like
it. Okay. All right. Well, hang on. And after the news is finished, we will come back and go ahead and plug soulofthecity.net. Don't go away.
Thank you for putting that on your...
Your
blog. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to do it. Hang on. Don't go away.
The show's growing. I'm just...
Good.
If it's the guy I'm dealing with, is the issue.
Well, that's always the way. And you're live on the stream, as you know, so enough said.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, she may be weary. Them young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shaggy dress. Yeah, yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness. Yeah. You know she's waiting, just anticipating for things that she'll never, 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 never possess. Yeah, yeah. But while she's there waiting, and without them, try a little tenderness. Gotta do. It's not just sentimental, no, no, no. She has her grief and care, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the soft words, they all spoke so gentle, yeah. It makes it easier, easier to bear. You won't regret it, no, no. Young girl, they don't forget it. Love is their whole happiness.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Otis Redding, 1966 on Volt, Try a Little Tenderness. And yeah, you might say, well, is that a cover of Three Dog Night? Well, actually, Three Dog Night came out 3 years later, but this is a cover. Try a Little Tenderness was first recorded in 1932 by the Ray Noble Orchestra. Yeah. Val Rosing was the vocalist, and since then, a lot of people have done that, and actually, it was on Frank Sinatra's debut album, The Voice of Frank Sinatra, in 1946, and he did it again in 1960 on Nice and Easy, so that's the deal. As far as Otis, he was backed by Booker T and the MGs, and Isaac Hayes was the arranger of that, so there you have it. All right, and that was the third request we had from Lisa and Juliet. And back to Johnny for a moment, because I'm on a final plug here on Sunday night. Now, let me first ask you, do we know who our 8 o'clock special is yet Sunday?
We do. It's Jerry Butler.
Ooh, the Iceman cometh. All right.
It was Smokey Robinson and the Miracles last week, and the week before, I don't even remember. But it was the Spinners the week before that.
Excellent.
And we, of course, played the great song. I love it. Always love my mama and Sadie, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be Jerry Butler. We got plenty of material on him.
And you know who named him the Iceman, don't you?
You said that earlier.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Georgie Woods, the guy with the goods on WDASAM in Philadelphia.
What was the call letters?
WDAS. It was one of the
DAS
two.
DAS, and the jock's name was?
Oh, Georgie Woods. Yes, Georgie Woods. Yes, he has his own potato chips. I still have I still have a pack. I've never opened it, never planned to, because now that comes from the 60s, but nonetheless.
And WDAS is where?
Philadelphia.
All right. So that came much later. He wasn't the Iceman until about 68, was he?
Yeah, around. It might have been a little earlier than that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote to the Astrodome with Jerry Butler in 66. He and Mike Payne...
our afternoon jock. They were going to the dome. Say, I can't even remember what we went there for. I didn't have a driver's license. I was sitting in the back seat. Jerry Butler was very, very mellow.
Uh-huh.
Didn't say a lot. He was very quiet. To me, it was very nice. Yeah. But very cool.
Well, no, I think the Iceman is well before what you're talking about, because Jerry was appearing at the Uptown Theater on North Broad. Oh. So this would have been like 1959 or 1960, right after he was out from the Impressions doing a solo.
Oh, that
deal.
Early, huh?
Yes. And what it was, I thought about it because you nailed it when you talked about the ride with him, because the reason that Georgie gave him that moniker was because of his calm, stoic, unshakable, cool demeanor, which was under stage lights as well, and completely composed no matter what he was doing. And what happened was the Uptown had its liabilities, and during the performance they had a blackout. All the power's off. Doesn't stop Jerry Butler one iota. He continued to sing right through the blackout. And
really?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where Georgie Wood said, he is the Iceman. And that is how that happened.
I thought, I tagged that because of the Iceman Cometh album.
Right, of course. Well, and all that is there. But sadly, of course, and Jerry, of course, has been gone now over a year. But he was a big, big deal in Chicago, not only for music, but of course I think was an alderman or whatever. He was did a lot of stuff like that. So absolutely.
You remember that song by him called Good Times? It was a ballad.
Yeah. You gonna play it?
No job in my pockets, they don't jingle. Beautiful song.
Yeah.
And you know, the Need to Belong and I Stand Accused. I mean, he was just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. My favorite is still Mr. Dream Merchant.
Oh, I know it is, and I love it too.
Yeah, that is just the song. But there are so many things that people don't play much anymore, like Are You Happy? It's a good record.
There's a one called Loneliness, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. And
he did one that was, I don't know, some people like it, some people don't, but it's called Walk Easy, My Son.
Yes, I played that for you. You betcha.
Yeah, it's a reflection of living in the country and neighbors helping neighbors in times of need, and it's a beautiful message.
Yeah,
it really is. If you never heard it, your listeners never heard it, go listen to it on YouTube. I think it'll move you. It's very emotional.
Well, good. So that'll be on. I'm trying to think of what the name of that song. There's one that I really liked. It was very moody along the same lines.
One moody woman.
No, nothing like that.
I could write a book.
No, yeah. I know he did that too.
I gotta see if I can get mommy to come back home.
No.
There was all kind of stuff on.
I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore.
I hate to admit it, but I don't know that one.
That's the one that really, it's not the kind of thing you can play in a feel-good setting, but I don't want to hear it anymore is an absolutely great song. Let me let
was
you hear
BJ
some of it. Hell, I don't remember. But
in my neighborhood,
given up on love, or love gives up on me.
Well, folks don't live so good now. The rooms are small. Most of the buildings made of wood. I hear the neighbors talking about you and me. Guess I've heard most every word, 'cause the talking's loud and the walls are much too thin.
Just a great song. It's the flip side.
That's beautiful.
A flip side of I Stand Accused, so it must have been VJ.
Oh, it had to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And another pretty song he did was called I Stopped by Heaven.
Oh, yeah. So you'll have plenty of things to do Sunday night.
He was also, you know, remember he was into some folk music, too.
All sorts of things. Yeah.
He was really, really different. I mean, you can say that about a lot of artists. I mean, in their own unique way.
Yep.
You know, you got Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson, some real legends there that you can't compare to anybody. I mean, they're just who they were.
Indeed. All right, so Sunday night at 8 o'clock, but from 6 to midnight on soulofthecity.net or HoustonRadioPlatinum.com.
And either one of those, you can listen to me in the mornings if you doesn't have to be R&B. I'm 5 to 10 every morning.
All right.
Weekday morning.
There you go.
But thank you so much, Raleigh.
Right.
I appreciate everything. And
good luck on your Windows 10 machines.
I hope some of the listeners learned a little bit on that tech part of Windows 10 because I'm not an expert there.
All right. Good luck.
Maybe there's a lot of other people aren't either, but there's some that are.
Yep.
Call in sometime.
Absolutely.
All right, Raleigh.
Thanks. Yeah, save me from myself. That's very true, and good to hear from Johnny. All right, we got, if he's still with us, Marty and Whiting, because we are going to talk about ZZ Top's Lost. And yeah, next I'll play a ZZ Top record. You're saying you've got a ZZ Top record you like? How can you not like a record that mentions Dr. Brinkley? All right, all that coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember back in 1966? Can't you see some simple blues where I got my legs? Coast to coast and line to line in every county.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yeah, Frank Beard, who's now no longer with us, co-wrote it with the other members of ZZ Top. And when it came out, it was on Fandango in 1975. I just loved it because the line, "We can all thank Dr. B, he stepped across the line." No kidding, of course. They knew their history of XCR south of Del Rio. And that was the deal, Dr. Brinkley and his goat glands. And of course, that led the way for it becoming XCRF and of course Wolfman and everything else. So yeah, the preachers and all that, you betcha. So they just nailed that, and that would be nice if we were playing it for a reason other than why we are. So we'll talk about that a moment with Marty in Whiting, if he is still with us. So Marty, are you still there? No, we lost Marty. Oh, Marty, I'm so sorry. He's been waiting for 2.5 hours. Yeah, sorry about that. And it is sad to note, and you probably saw the obit, or maybe not, but 77 years old, and one of the founders, and of course the drummer, yeah, that backbeat and all that, for ZZ Top, yeah, sharp dressed man and everything else, legs, yeah, right. But he was in hospice care in Texas, and I don't know what was the ailment that landed him up there, but he's not been doing well for a while. And so Billy Gibbons, I think, made the announcement along with Elwood Francis and talked about that. ZZ Top, it may or may not be your thing. It actually isn't mine, but I loved, I heard it on the X. But they sold over 50 million records and had 6 singles that reached number 1 on the rock chart. So you can't hate that. And in a documentary, ZZ Top, that little band from Texas, Beard was quoted as saying, "I found the people I was meant to play with," and that is true. And a number of drummers have been on social media in the last little while talking about his influence, whether it was Rage Against the Machine or Guns N' Roses or you name it. And they were Texas all the way, and the deal was Beard was from Frankston. But at the time, Gibbons was in the Moving Sidewalks, and then the vocalist Dusty Hill, also the bass player, had been in several bands. And so they formed ZZ Top in 69 and named them in part after ZZ Hill, one of my favorites, Cheating in the Next Room, and influenced by British groups like Cream, or also Jimmy Reed. And so they had the same lineup for 5 decades and all that. And so when Keith Richards helped induct them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he said, "These cats know their blues and they know how to dress it up. When I first saw them, I thought, I hope these guys are not on the run because that disguise is not going to work." I guess not. And great line. But they had a lot of humor and innuendo in some of their lyrics. "Give me all your lovin'" and "Happy Feet" and on and on. And so this, it was Billy Gibbons who said to the Dallas Morning News, the best way to describe ZZ Top is, "We're interpreters of a great American art form." Yes, yes, indeed. The little old band from Texas. And yeah, it took them about 3 years to have a breakout record. And LaGrange, which was on Tres Hombres, is what did it. And then, of course, they went on to quite a lot of fame and all that. And so they were performing. In fact, they're still performing. They had to cancel some appearances, but they're going to come back in Austin, which was kind of a second hometown to Beard, that saying that they would have a concert in his honor there. And so his wife, Debbie Meredith, is still alive, and his 3 children are too. So RIP and our condolences, Frank Beard. And sorry to Marty, who couldn't hang in there. But who would blame him? I mean, it was a ridiculous amount of time. So we will pick it up there after the news here on WGN Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine I'm in love with you many, many, many times before. It's not like me to pretend, but I'll get you in the end. Yes, I will, I'll get you in the end. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I think about you night and day. I need you and it's true. When I think about you, I can say I'm never, 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 never blue. So I'm telling you, my friend, that I'll get you in the end. Yes, I will, I'll get you in the end. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, there's gonna be a time when I'm gonna change your mind. So you might as well resign yourself to me. Oh yeah. Imagine I'm in love with you. It's easy cause I know. I've imagined I'm in love with you many, many, many times before. It's not likely. I'll get you in the end. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And so that's for Billy Bob and Bourbonnais, who requested it. The Flip Side of She Loves You, 1963 on Swan. And of course, when that first came out, that's before anybody really knew who the Beatles were in the States, and it died. And so nobody, you know, knew the flip side, let alone the A side. And then, of course, when the Beatles hit with a vengeance, Swan immediately released it. And She Loves You became a big hit. But the reason it wasn't on the albums and it was a standalone was because they had the rights to it. And much like VJ had the rights to some stuff as well for a while, anyway. But so that's the deal. Now, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Mike in Elmwood Park, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. I got a couple of requests.
All right. Let me get the sheet out and we'll add to them. All right. And I think I've got some stuff from you already, so let me look. I know... let's see, we did play your little bit of soap and all of that, but let's see what else we got. I know we're here. Somewhere. Somewhere. Let's see. Mike in Elmwood Park wants I Love You by the Volumes. That's one. Now, wait, we got you down in other things as well. All right. Mike in Elmwood Park wants Donna the Prima Donna and 16 Candles. Let's see. I think that Mike in Elmwood Park wants the Fleetwood. No, that's Mike from Cleveland. Pardon, wrong Mike. Mike in Elmwood Park wants Mr. Sandman, the Quartets, and Moment to Remember the Four Lads. All right, so see, we will eventually get to them all. Well, what do you want to add?
Okay, I want to add 5 o'clock World by the Vogue.
Okay.
And It Takes Two by Marvin Gaye and Kim Weston.
Okay. You betcha.
All right, thank you.
My pleasure, thank you. All right, good deal. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Oh, and I really apologize to those of you who have been hanging on for a whole show. Yeah, just too long-winded, and sorry about that. But let's see, James on the South Side. What's up, James?
How are you?
All right.
How are you doing?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. That's okay. I can't really complain about that.
Well, good. I'll take that. Good enough. And what do we have on tap for tonight?
Okay. We have here... there's a couple of things I know she did say about what... Okay, there was one story I sent you about a guy who went up to... Alaska, after he was a Vietnam War veteran,
right.
And he became the last guy, basically to actually have like a claim, be actually a claim to a land claim.
Good for him. And you know, that might have been an interesting story, but as I told you, it was so loaded with clickbait, I couldn't get to the end of it.
So, yeah, I noticed that. That was the thing that bothered me a little bit about that one.
Let it bother you a lot in the future. All right, now, we have construction workers in Belgium. They thought they were digging a sewer system, but what they got was $10 million in gold bars, 18 miles north of Brussels. And apparently there were enough of them that they couldn't just walk off of them. They had to turn it in. And there were 49 gold bars, a bucket containing gold coins, and a lot of other documentaries that were documented that would lead you to believe it's over $10 million in gold.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, and the crew couldn't believe it at first. They thought, no, this can't be right. But it absolutely was right. The police immediately secured it, don't you know? And so now the investigation is, where did this come from?
It would not surprise me if it was like something for World War II.
That's what I thought, too. That's exactly what I thought, too, that made a lot of sense. And hopefully it wasn't under terrible conditions.
Yeah. And unfortunately, as we know, okay, too many of those, that's how we have found artwork over the years.
Oh, yes. And that is just, those are horrendous stories. Just hate to hear them. So, yes, indeed.
Yeah. And then we had about six 1950 jobs that either don't exist or almost non-existent.
Uh-huh. Now, there was...
Yeah, well...
There was an interesting story, but I couldn't read it because it was from the Chicago Tribune, and I'm not a subscriber. So
oh,
I didn't.
Oh yeah, I think I found myself. I read it just quick enough that he didn't click me off.
Yeah, no, I tried to get there, but couldn't, and apparently access of a digital library across the whole country was unintended. My, I can only imagine what the upshot of that was.
Oh, yeah, that was the Obama Library, no less. The library, yeah, that was, that's a good one.
Yeah, all right. Well, a fine group of stories, and there's an interesting mystery. You didn't send it, Bob, Engineer Bob from WGN sent it, about that family of four in India who ate the watermelon and died of rat poisoning. So you'll run across it, I'm sure, and it still is a mystery to all.
Yeah, oh, it is. We can leave this other one about the monocles.
Oh, yeah, I don't even understand how you wear a monocle.
The only thing I could do when I thought about those, about Hogan's Heroes. That was the only way
could remember. Right, but I mean...
Colonel Klink.
Yes, and I loved Colonel Klink. He was great. And he was a terrific actor, and it was interesting because he originally turned down that part because he was Orthodox Jewish, and he said, I'm not doing anything, you know, about this, and they guaranteed him that it would never make Hitler look in a good light, and it didn't, that's for sure. So he took the gig on that basis, and I liked him a lot.
I think the only way you can wear a monocle is you almost have to squint.
Well, how do you get it to stay there? But I don't know. Maybe I have the wrong kind of facial bone structure, but it won't stay there.
No, it's hard to make it stay.
Yeah.
It's real hard.
Yeah. So we have the article on why people wore them. Well, I think we both know why they didn't. They say it's an eccentric throwback. Well, I say still it's really hard to imagine. Now, you know, some of the pictures in the article, they're holding the monocle in front of their face. Well, I can understand holding it, but having it set in such a way that you're wearing it. So there you are. There you have that.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I was going to tell you about the ice cream custard thing, but locally, but that's that we can leave that for another time.
Well,
besides, it's not.
Yeah, there's later this week for sure, and it's always good to hear from you. Thank you.
Okay, you take care.
All right, you
and
too.
Hopefully, it gets a little cooler.
Oh, that'd be nice. Thanks. Yeah, it was only a balmy 110 today. Here, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We have a request from Gene and Dalton. All right, so Gene, firstly, how is the homestead? Are things good?
Oh yes, the pump is working, and I'm so glad. But so many things happened after that, but it just kept going. But got Elizabeth off back to New York because she had that postpartum, depression, and it was really rough. But we got through it.
Good.
Running, and I think she'll be better, I hope, because she'll be seeing all her doctors, and I hope the best for her.
Yeah.
But, you have my condolences on your friend. When I had my big car crash in 2013 for my 80th birthday, I think I told you about the red Corvette.
Yes.
And really took the front of my house out. Well, there was, as for my condolence and for my calmness, I put on the TV, and there was a program with the Gators. They're a musical group I found.
Uh-huh.
And they played an old song about old friends. And I don't know the words, all of it. But it helped me a little bit at that time. And I was thinking of you when you were, we all have that moment where we lose, good friends. And I lost my good friend, Shirley. And but before she died, she sent me some pictures when we were in grammar school. So I have those to look at.
Okay.
And I'm sure you have all your memories, of all those old friends. Because as time goes by, you know.
Right, exactly. Well, the Gaithers are a well-known gospel group, of course, and they did do Old Friends, so I'll dig that up for you.
Oh, that would be nice, because I haven't heard it in a lot of years now, yeah. You know, because it's passed and gone forever, you know. And I was thinking about you, and those words I remember resonated with me at that time. And I said, boy, that would be a good song to request for you.
All right, I'll do it. It's good to hear from you. You're sounding good.
Okay, you take care now.
All right, you too, thanks.
God bless you both.
Appreciate
it. Bye-bye for now.
Yeah, and the Gaithers. So let us see. I want to see if we can hopefully get through. It's my fault. I'm just far too long-winded. So Ralph in Rockford's going to give us a quick request. What is it you want to hear, Ralph?
Yeah, I just had first of all, I just want to tell you very quickly, I wish I had stayed in Brussels. I would be 10 million rich by now.
Ah.
Yeah, you said 18 miles north of Brussels, they found 10 million worth of gold.
Yes.
Yeah, that was quite a story there. And once we are in Europe, I just wanted to make a big compliment for you when we talked about this earthquake there in Heinsberg. The way you spoke German was absolutely without an accent. I couldn't figure that one out, because I've hardly ever heard an American speak without an accent.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that was the way you pronounced Schaffhausen and Heinsberg. I almost got the impression that you were born there.
Nope, never been.
No, but that was quite amazing, because it's always there. Always a certain accent remains. That was a big problem for Henry Kissinger too, because he couldn't get rid of his German accent.
Yes, I hear that a lot, and I also hear that a lot, very often Polish people, especially with the W's and the V's, and just isn't easy. But, you know, the English language in many ways is Germanic origin, so it's not that difficult. You know, we don't have to trill our R's and do all those things that are horribly hard in the Romance language for the rest of us. And so it's pretty guttural, and that's sort of second nature, should be, to all of us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the guttural is what gives the German away every time, because they cannot cut out the guttural. It's like if you listen to Albert Einstein, you know, that's amazing that they cannot even close their mouth when they speak.
Yeah, I know, but it's very odd, because when an English person learns it, I think it's fairly easy, but it seems to be difficult when a German person is dropping it to learn English.
Oh, right. And I've also recommended for the first time when he started out that Henry Kissinger, Nixon told him, don't talk too much in the house here, because they will object to your accent. And then he tries his best, you know, to speak American English, but he had a big problem.
Yeah. All right, so what's the request?
Yeah, the request was, you talked about earlier, you talked about this, you got your troubles, I got mine.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that Lou Christie sang it. I like Lou Christie, but I like lightning striking is best, you know. And for me, what was striking is that I was thinking, I saw the Fortunes live in 1992 in Antwerp, Belgium. And that was really, they sang it. It was a big festival. All English groups were there from the Wild Thing and all the big hits. And so when they sang it, I was just impressed the way they sang it. It was very nice, like a record.
Yeah, that is nice when they do that. And, of course, they did a number of things under David and Jonathan as well.
Yeah, right. And I was there, what I was especially like to hear, and I heard it there, there's a wonderful trumpet solo in the middle of that song.
Okay.
And the trumpet.
So what do you want to hear?
I want to hear, not tonight, but if you have a time, I'd like to hear the original 1965 version by the Fortunes.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll play that for you tomorrow night.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I've been listening.
Thanks for your okay. Appreciate the call. All right, so always good to hear from Ralph. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we got Brian and Seneca. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Great to talk to you again, Raleigh. Earlier on with Johnny, you were discussing Bucky's protecting their trademarks. And, of course, don't forget soulofthecity.net.
Yes, right.
But as a counterpoint, when you're dealing with trademark law, you have to be an a-hole.
Right.
Because there are people who will, take a little bit, take a little bit, take a little bit more, and all of a sudden you can't use your name for more than the bare minimum. And sometimes the little guy does win. In Mattoon, you will find a Burger King restaurant unlike any other.
Right.
Because it does not belong to the Burger King Corporation. It belongs to the couple in Mattoon who took out a straight trademark on Burger King before the Burger King Corporation took out their federal trademark.
Well, see,
federal black state, but the state was the older one. So as a compromise, there is a 20-mile radius of Mattoon where the Burger King Corporation may not open any restaurants called Burger King, nor accept franchisees.
Yeah, well, this is sort of what happened when you talk about the trademarks in this current Bucky's suit, because Bucky's has been there forever, but they hadn't applied for a trademark until after they knew Bucky's from Texas was coming. Now, it can be shown, of course, the whole history of Bucky's, and they'd had that particular logo since 2019, as far as that goes. But, of course, what Bucky's is saying is, hey, you didn't apply for this in time. We can use this. So, we'll see how the courts rule on this, because there's absolutely two sides to it.
Definitely so. And as a quick request to put into the Request Act,
yes,
Unit 4+2 concrete and clay.
Absolutely, you betcha. I'll do it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. So let's see, waning moments, and who do they go to? And again, apologies to those we didn't get to, but Chris in South Carolina, what you got for me?
Yes, we had the Film Society meeting tonight.
And? Hello?
One of my movies that, huh?
Yeah, you were not speaking into your phone. We didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, they showed two movies tonight. You know the spiral staircase from 46 with Dorothy McGuire?
Okay.
They showed that. That was a good mystery there.
Good.
And they showed my movie that I did early this year.
Good, good. It. How was the reaction?
They loved it.
Oh, good. That's so good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when she's choking them out.
All right. Well, good. Good. Yeah. So that was a good day.
Good mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spiral Staircase. That was a great movie to watch.
Okay.
RKO pick.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, did
Dorothy McGuire. She was mute, and she lived in a mansion stalked by the serial killer. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was very mute, and she screamed at the end.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, they made a television adaptation of that, too, with Elizabeth Montgomery and Lillian Gitch.
What's that television adaptation called?
I don't know what it was called, but it was probably out late 50s, early 60s, and you can probably look it up by Elizabeth Montgomery. It's probably in her, credits. And then it was a movie again in 1975 and in 2000. So it's been done.
Yeah, I hope I'll remake it one day.
Yeah, well, good luck. I like it. All right. Well, you pretty much ended the show. Thanks.
What network did Elizabeth Montgomery thing on?
Yeah, I wouldn't know, but I'll look it up, and next time you call, I will know.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. So good deal. Yeah, so it's had a lot of incarnations, because it is a good story all the way around. So 1946 originally, and famous.
as far as it goes. You can get it on DVD and stuff like that, probably free. Probably see the whole thing on YouTube if you look. Now, apologies to Clayton in Indianapolis. We did not get there, but that's why we have 21 hours from now, tomorrow night, because we'll do it again. And until then, we thank Adam big, big time, because he also sent me the first 15 minutes of the show that I didn't manage to stream because I forgot. But now I can put it together, and you'll hear it on the replay if you listen on the stream. Of course, if you listened on the radio, you got to hear it all, but we couldn't have done that without Adam, so much appreciated. We thank John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank all of you who called, and sorry I'm so long-winded. Hopefully those of you who didn't make it on will call again tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to it. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
The Flake Yardigans, plus Pale Britannia and Dueling Bozos. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Threat off my lawn, a belligerent day in the neighborhood, a Detroit area couple blew it big time, cops say, by building a bomb and blasting it into the backyard of their next door neighbor. Etched on the alleged explosive, bye-bye. The resident retiree reacted rapidly and rushed to extinguish the doom zoom before it could go boom boom. 8 Mile Roads facing a flurry of felony filings. Won't you flee my neighbor? The Canturian candidate, Farage Against the Debris, a prominent parliamentary provocateur in Britain, ran in a special election against some guy who wears a garbage can over his head and calls himself Count Binface. Basket Case may aspire to becoming Minister of Silly Hats, but the garbage pail kidder was left in the dust by Nigel the rabble-rousing reformer. Still, Bucket Grist took votes away from supporters, only making plans for Nigel, who will once again take his seat in the House of Common Cards. Butcher Blockheads. The good, the bad, and the fugly. A couple of creepy cavemen confronted each other in a supermarket parking lot in Florida. Cops claim, one wielding a machete, the other brandishing a hatchet. Wamilton and Gurr's cave heart clash. Apparently a feud over a first cut is the deepest love interest. A blade stunner bloodbath averted, but the wounds ranged from gruesome gashes to getting conked over the cranium. No word on which whack job wound up winning over the woman. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.